Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. Activists in Chicago disrupted a planned rally for Donald Trump at the University of Illinois at Chicago last Friday. The rally was to take place at the UIC Pavilion, but as an organized group of anti-Trump activists descended, clashes broke out inside and outside the location, leading Trump to cancel. It appears as though the activists who organized the disruption were a combination of UIC students, Black Lives Matter, and other Chicagoans. According to reports, protesters outnumbered supporters by at least a 5-to-1 ratio. There were conflicting reports about whether Trump would cancel his planned rally in Cincinnati ahead of Tuesday's primary races. My guest is Arun Gupta. He's an investigative journalist who's written for dozens of publications, including The Washington Post, The Guardian, The Nation, and Salon. He's a frequent guest on Uprising. Welcome back to the show, Arun.
Thanks for having me on, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, were you surprised at what happened in Chicago, especially given that at rally after rally, there have been small numbers of people entering Trump's events and, of course, been kicked out often violently? Was Chicago sort of a natural outcome of that, or was it kind of shocking?
It did come as a surprise. I don't think anyone could say they really expected Trump would cancel the event. I think one important thing to right off the bat is that the protesters did not physically shut this down or violate his free speech as liberals are wringing their hands right now. They were going to be there to disrupt it, to raise their voice. They weren't there to be violent. It was Trump who shut this down. So his free speech was never violated. He did not want to be embarrassed because there were such a huge crowd of protesters inside the auditorium.
That's a very good point. So he is now going to be speaking at some major rallies. And as he attempts to make his, address his supporters, it seems as though a lot of people might be trying to look at Chicago as a model for how to greet Trump in their cities. Should it be seen as a good model?
I think it could be seen as a model, but we need to recognize that there are always particularities, and Chicago has a lot of them in this case. For one, this was on a college campus that is heavily people of color, and this demonstration was very much people of color led. There were, of course, African-American, Black Lives Matter activists. There were Muslim Americans, Students for Justice in Palestine, many Latino Hispanic activists as well. Traditionally, this is also a working class college, the one that we're talking about. So I think Trump will not make the mistake of going someplace that's going to clearly be hostile to him again. And also the activists were able to put the Chicago Police Department on the defensive because there's been just such tremendous organizing against them for so long. We saw then a day or so later, protesters in Kansas City were attacked by police there with pepper spray, and the police chief was praising it as preventing a riot, which is ludicrous because virtually the only violence is coming from the Trump security and their supporters. I think if we wanted to talk more about exactly what went on, I wasn't there, but I've been following it very closely. We can talk about why it worked.
Now, there was even ahead of the Chicago event, there was a really nasty incident between a Trump supporter and a protester in North Carolina. And this man punched a protester multiple times. He has also been, he's basically somebody who made threats. There have been talk about killing protesters. protesters, and you know, knocking them out. And of course, Trump has encouraged this very clearly in his rallies. Right, there was a montage of video clips that someone made of him saying, get him out," and he repeatedly has been saying this at every rally he's at: "Get rid of them, get them out of here, kick him out." How responsible should he be held for the violence that his supporters subject protesters to?
Oh, I think very much so. You know, it's not just what you say is very correct, but it goes far beyond that, right? As well, where he's telling people to knock the crap out of protesters. He's telling people, oh, in the old days, they would be taken out of stretchers. We're too politically correct. There's been a number of montages made. I would recommend that folks find the one that Rachel Maddow did recently, because what's really interesting, they put together for MSNBC how he keeps linking it to, oh, we're politically correct. This is what happens when you're politically correct. And this is linked to when he's always like, oh, you know, people love me because I'm not politically correct. That what he's calling about, we need to return to this kind of era of mob violence. I mean, it's one step away, essentially, from calling for lynch mobs. And we're seeing, you know, people, the physical attacks, the one guy who sucker punched a protester, and then he told the news cameras, we may have to kill him next time. Trump is very much encouraging a lynch mob mentality. Now, he's had to dial it back a little, but I think this is pretty dangerous. What's going on, and we also should reject this idea that, oh, he's just unleashing forces. You know, these attitudes, this deeply held racism, the xenophobia, the nativism, all of that exists, but he's shaping it also and creating it into something very different. And I think, you know, the terms that we need to think about what he's doing are things such as extermination and eliminationism. He wants to eliminate 11 million undocumented immigrants, Mexicans especially, from public life. He wants to eliminate Muslims. And this, again, you know, it's not, we're not talking about death camps, but he is on that path. You know, you don't deport 11 million people without creating concentration camps. So this all is a very dangerous moment, I think, and it will continue to be even if he's defeated.
And we're seeing people like Ann Coulter echo him and egg him on. She just tweeted on March 13th, this is literally her quote: "I would like to see a little more violence from the innocent Trump supporters set upon by violent leftist hoodlums." This is Ann Coulter. I mean,
yeah.
There's no interpreting that any other way.
Yeah. And of course, you know, this also is something very effective that the right does. They play the victim. Fascists historically have always done this as well. They present them as the victim when they are very much the aggressor. Of course.
Yeah. And I also want to quote the sort of war of words on Twitter between Trump and Bernie Sanders, because apparently there were many people carrying Bernie Sanders signs at the Trump rally in Chicago. But this is what Trump said: "Bernie Sanders is lying when he says his disruptors aren't told to go to my events. Be careful, Bernie, or my supporters will go to yours." And Sanders responded, "Send them. They deserve to see what an honest politician sounds like." I mean, it's escalating between the candidates themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not surprised that Trump responded in that way. You know, he's very much full of bravado and bluster. But this also, I think, gets to, there's been this debate raging about, is Trump a fascist or not? And it's just like, well, he has very much set in motion a fascist movement. I think this is at the very earliest stages of what we would expect a fascist movement to look like. But when he is getting effusive praise for violent neo-Nazis from Stormfront, from the Klan, from David Duke, from all these white supremacist groups, from all these like just violent anti-immigration groups, and now we're starting to see this type of not quite open street fighting, but it has a potential for that. We are seeing very much the conditions that led to the rise of European fascism in the 1920s and 30s.
Let's also talk about the fact that he apparently now has Secret Service members protecting him. There was recently a reporter that was very violently assaulted by a member of the Secret Service. Does this now mean that any perceived threat as at a Trump rally where Trump himself is present might be seen in a similar legal light as a threat to the president? And why is Secret Service protecting him in the first place?
Well, this is standard operating procedure. When a candidate, I'm not sure what the exact criteria are, but Trump has had Secret Service protection since November. It's when you're starting to be considered that you are a leading candidate or there are a number of threats. I don't think there's anything problematic about that. And in fact, it's kind of better that I think the Secret Service be protecting him than his own Gestapo and intelligence force that he's creating. The problem, though, with the Secret Service protection is there was a change in the law a couple of years ago. Now that any event where the Secret Service is involved, it's can be considered a felony to protest.
Right.
And so, you know, we've seen, like in Chicago, I think something like 32 people were protested. I mean, what I'm hoping is that we start to see people filing civil suits against Trump and his organization. And, you know, I don't know if there's any, you know, prosecutors that are have the guts to go after him, but the man is clearly inciting mob violence. And, you know, when he tells people to punch him, to knock the crap out of him, and I'll pay your legal fees, he is culpable for that violence, and we've seen all sorts of violence. So, you know, it's something that really needs to be addressed much more strongly.
And I'm glad you brought up that other quote. That was literally what he said. He basically didn't even say, you know, he didn't even hold back. It was just go after these protesters and I will pay your legal fees. I will be responsible for you financially. And essentially, he is directing almost like if he had a paramilitary at his fingertips, he would direct them who to attack. I mean, it's just amazing. And we're seeing the polls. This interview is being done on the day of the primaries in the day before the primaries in Florida and Ohio, and the polls are showing Trump leading in the Republican field. What does this say about the Republican Party?
Well, I think, you know, there is what does it say about America? You know, that there is this millions, perhaps even a few tens of millions of people who it's easy to just stoke this very deep racism and hatred and these violent attitudes. I think, you know, the Democrats bear a lot of responsibility for this. The lion's share is with the right wing. You know, they've been stoking this type of racism for well over 50 years. I would also point your listeners to the series of articles I've been doing on the campaign for Telesaur, where I explain this in much more detail.
And we'll post a link to that from our website, uprisingwithsonali.com, later today. Arun, thank you as always for joining us. We'll have you back on in the future.
Thank you, Sonali.
Arun Gupta is an investigative journalist who has written for dozens of publications, including The Washington Post, The Guardian, The Nation, Salon, and Telesaur. This is Uprising, back in just a moment.